Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening, this is the Bougie Black Brother, and you've tuned in to Repo, Rethinking Politics. And I have one of my co-hosts here, which is Chaz Jenkins from Welcome to the Wall podcast. What's up, Chaz?
What's up? There's a lot of crazy shit going on, but you already knew that.
It's nothing new. Nope. And my other co-host is Eric Carr, otherwise known as Eazy-E. Eazy Does It. What's going
Eazy
on?
Eazy Does It. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, it's Eric from the DMV. I feel like a lot of this stories right now is coming from my area,
yep.
Virginia. So we'll get to that in a second. So,
absolutely. So our topic today is really about what we've been seeing coming out of the Virginia area, the Charlottesville protests, and what came about with our government actually acknowledging that these protesters are equal to the people who are protesting against them, which freaking blew my mind, but shouldn't have, because we knew who was basically running this shit. So I want to swing it to Eve first, because, I mean, you're getting most of the scuttlebutt because you're right there in that area. I mean, being in the DMV area, so those who don't know, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, that's probably a really hot topic. So I want to throw it to Eve first.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you already know, it was a protest or a rally, whatever you want to call it, down in Charlottesville, right by the UVA campus. Actually, right in the middle of the UVA campus in Charlottesville. I mean, I know I have coworkers, I have some friends that went to UVA that knew about the whole protest beforehand and was just embarrassed that they were even doing it in the first place. A lot of people forget that there was a rally back in May with the guy Richard Spencer, the other KKK guy.
Yeah,
there was one in May, and it actually got shut down within the first 10-15 minutes or so by the police. It wasn't like this one, where the recent one that just happened, that one grew much larger. They had their what do you call them, the tiki sticks,
tiki lamps,
the tiki, yeah, you know, and they,
Chaz was gonna invest in that,
yeah. and they pretty much stomped and did their marching around, shouting all these slurs and for Jews and white power, yada yada yada. But it's just honestly right now, I mean, all I'm hearing is just how people are embarrassed, because it's like, come on, we're doing this out here in Virginia. But I'm kind of not surprised, because like in the last show I explained, you can call Virginia purple if you want, but it gets real deep blue and then real deep red real quick, depending on where you are in the state. So
absolutely,
you know, yeah. So there's a lot of noise right now coming out of Charlottesville, and we can feel it right now, Northern Virginia, in the D.C. area.
So Chaz, you know, we got a couple of alt-rights down in South Georgia, and our neighboring state, Carolinas, where there's a big Ku Klux Klan legion, as they say. What were you hearing when this was occurring, other than what we basically saw on the TV?
You know, that's actually, it's interesting you pointed to that, because even being in the South, being in the South is weird, because it's almost like, you know, you just see people, you see the Confederate flags, and it's like ecosystem, where they're like, almost like the evolution, where the apes, the humans, and the Neanderthals, Like I'm like we're like the one step below full races.
Right.
So I'm already kind of like was used to their kind, just not the one ring below.
Right.
So on my end, I'm still relatively insulated in the city, just because, I mean, Atlanta as a city is blue. It's a state that's red.
Right.
So in terms of the circles that I hang with and people that I talk to, I was basically like the rest of the country, just mm-hmm. watching TV, seeing those images, and confused, like, you know, tiki torches are hard now. You know, I was like, they're walking through a university, you know, yeah. UVA. Is that right, UVA?
Yeah, yeah, and it's one of the best schools in the country, too. It didn't make any sense how they were allowing them to do that, and just over here, we were just like, wait a minute, is this really happening? Like, it's 2017.
Now, that part, you know. I wasn't surprised about, just because, I mean, this whole year has just been like,
well, yeah,
wow. Like, just as a throwback to Flavor Flav, when he was on the Flavor of Love, mm-hmm. wow, that's just me the whole year.
Right. Yeah.
But I think whether the issue really comes up, and just I've been around for a while, but I've been seeing this, but it just seemed like it was such a fringe. You know what I mean? You would see a little here and a little
now,
there.
Okay. Let's talk about that though. You used the word fringe, and I don't want to go into percentages because it's all guesstimation on probability and on I'm not these people.
Right.
But if I had to break it down, it's if I can use an analogy, it's like how many people hate Muslims versus how many people think Muslims are terrorists versus how many people think, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right.
So the same thing for on their end, how many people are fringe, quote unquote, versus how many people actually have that same ideology, but just maybe didn't protest or didn't go to the, you know, didn't have the money to make it.
Well, I kind of look at it. So let's go to your point of how many of what. I kind of look at it that because it wasn't fashionable to be racist, right. So you had a lot of people who didn't speak out. Then it was, well, you know what? I'm losing my job to the others. So they still had uh-huh. anger, but they never expressed it. But when you have people of power who is encouraging you to see that all others are taking away what's yours, and I want to bring back the right America. So all you need to go back is maybe 30, 40 years and know that what he's talking about is what when whites and white males were in charge and they couldn't do any wrong. So you can kill anyone, you can rape women, you can do all types of things. Those were the good old days. So yeah. It's sickening that people don't understand that if you want to go back to those days were based off white people, and especially the privilege of white males. So if you got a president and an administration that's saying government is fucked up, but follow me, that's telling people and giving them the license of you can actually have these views, and it makes it legitimate. Not even just a racist view, but a view to say you deserve what you used to have. Because I think mentally they don't even know that it's a racist thought to say I need to be above all races, all genders, and all that, which kind of like blew my fucking mind.
Right. And you could see how in that protest, how they didn't even care. There was no one had a mask on or the hoods just
right.
out. People taking pictures. They're not even worried. Like I mean, if there's white privilege, you're looking at it right there.
Yeah, like it's cosigned.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, we're good. Like, this is what, you know, this is what it is. Like, you know, don't take down our statue and white power. That's what they're chanting, and it's sitting there, and you got your Trump president that's not condemning any of it. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. We're going backwards where you got these people and these leaders now that are just accepting and normalizing all this, and it's that's the real problem that I'm seeing right now.
And it's dangerous.
Oh yes.
So I don't see how people don't see the danger in this. And even though they're not acknowledging the percentage of minorities compared to the white males that think this way, that is a very dangerous mix. Because now that it seems as though there are people are fighting against the president, you're making these whites that feel that they want their privilege back to say, you're really telling me you're going to take away my rights. There's a difference between rights and privilege. And I think that's where their mind is so confused of rights and privilege. But they always thought their right was their privilege. Yeah. Or vice versa, which is just, I keep saying the word crazy, but that's the world we're living in now. And, you know, I'm seeing things from the BBC and what's the Arab station?
Al Jazeera.
And there's like, how could this be happening? You know, and they showing the pictures of our country where the Nazis are out there. And they said, how could you associate Nazism with something in Germany, but yet the Americans fought against that? And I was kind of like, I know.
No sense of history. No sense of, in fact, even after that, after the whole story, Robert E. Lee's, first of all, Robert E. Lee quotes of, you know, I think these statues are nonsense. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, he personally was against the statues, his aunts, you know, his current kin were like, we don't want, you know, it's not that important to us.
They idolizing these. Yeah, because they don't want to be associated, again, the association of being a racist.
A treasonous
racist.
Even above racism, like literally the Confederate States fought against the other, not to say the Union was, you know, was super high moral, but I don't understand that part, and I'm interested to see what you guys think about the idea of this almost being like a red herring, a distraction. I was listening to public radio, and Andrew Jackson. Jackson. I'm thinking. another dumb Trump statement. Like, what if Andrew Jackson was president during the Civil War? I was like, bro, he was dead. There's so many dumb statements to keep up with.
Yeah.
But anyway, Andrew Young, civil rights, mayor of Atlanta, UN ambassador. He was basically saying, like, he thinks this is a distraction. And he was worried about, okay, even though a lot of people are basically progressive, what if people suddenly vote the other way, and then statues of MLK and other figures are taken away? And I was like, well, you know, I was a little mixed about that, because I feel like politically chasing the statues is,
I can't stand that,
you know, I don't want to say a waste of time, but at the same time, how much energy do you want to put into that instead of making sure, you know, you fight the agenda before all this happened? Now, are we still talking about Russia? Are we still worried about nepotism, ethics? You know,
all
it's,
of it.
You know, it's all, you know, I don't know. It's, what do you guys say?
Go ahead.
Listening to what you're saying, what bugs me is how they do that reverse psychology, you know, talk where it's, okay, what if, it's like you said, what if they take down Martin Luther King statue? How do you feel about that? Or they talk about how, what if we erase this in history, and you can't erase what this country was made of? And it's kind of like, I don't think you're paying attention, you know, because what you're doing is you're glorifying a leader that was all about slavery, that was all about bringing going against the government. Right. I mean, you're talking about someone that was literally unpatriotic. You're calling it patriotism, but it's not really anything that you're really standing on. Like, there's so much irony right now, because they're sitting there saying that, okay, you know, we want to keep our history intact, and we want to stand here and be strong and all hail the Confederacy. But it doesn't make any sense when you have all these people that are black and brown and all these other ethnicities, and all they care about is their own. And you know what I'm saying? So it's part of that whole white America argument that they're not even paying attention to.
Right.
It's like you're just talking about a white America. You're not even talking about America. And it's just that's the blinders right now that we're facing with right now.
But they never bring up that subject of, you know, the melting pot or these other.
Well, they never will.
Yeah.
It's because what's going on is that you have Colin Kaepernick taking a knee,
mm-hmm.
and then they're calling that unpatriotic and un-American. And it's and if you feel it, if you just hear how I hate to keep saying they, but the people that are against things like Colin Kaepernick and boycotting the NFL because of players taking knees, it's like you do understand that the reason he's taking a knee is because of these issues going around, you know, happening in this country, but they don't care about that. They think they make the rules.
Right.
They think it's the white American rule. It's like if I'm going against it, me, like I'm saying, as I'm not a white person, but a white person that's going against the knees, you know, Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, it's kind of like, well, this is what America is about. We're not going to stand for that. And it's almost like they're creating the rules of what being American is.
Right. Right.
That's the part where I feel like they don't get that. But then you have people like Trump, just to keep going back to that, because that's important.
Mm-hmm.
He signs off on every single issue, every single problem that, you know, that whether it's blue or just any kind of diversity. And this kind of diversity is almost like the issue that they want to go up against. It doesn't even make any sense to me. Right?
But that's that's his base. You know, he went off of, I'm different, because if you get people who say, I'm different and I'll make a change. So I'm different against the government. I'm different against the brown and the black. I'm different because I'm a businessman and I'm successful as a businessman. But this is all smoke and mirrors because they still don't see that none of this that he's doing right now is helping anybody. He's taken credit for job growth that was going to be growth regardless, and job creation that they were going to actually hire people, but he shows up because he heard that they're hiring people and said, see what I've done because I negotiated.
Well, we really got to talk about that in terms of just some quick fact checking. I forget if it's the Carrier factory, but they still end up outsourcing and
moving
jobs.
People to Mexico. It's a portion that still moved down there.
Yeah, it's basically they just took their tax credit and said, whatever, you know, we out. And it's funny with Amazon is, you know, all these jobs that they're hiring, because obviously the owner of Amazon funds, well, I wouldn't say funds, but he bought the Washington Post.
Yep,
he's
yeah.
the boss, and obviously the Washington Post is they were critical of Obama, but they're way, you know, they're on Trump's ass, you know what I'm saying? So he doesn't like them. So he never praises Amazon for anything they do, even though they fit the same mold of, you know, made in America, hiring, you know, in America, especially if you're in tech, you or one of your vendors use Amazon Web Services. So definitely an important American company.
And if you
company.
Watch Netflix, guess what? You support Amazon as well. Yep.
On their servers? Yep, exactly. So, you know, it's just partisan on that level. I was watching some of the footage from, he went to Phoenix for a rap. First of all, I don't know what's up with these weird rallies. I don't know why
he wants to be like. So let me just answer that real quick. He goes to the rallies because he needs to be praised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the validation, but you're president. That's, you would hope that.
Nah. Because there was an article, and then I saw it on Bill Maher, that they have every day a ego memo that tells him how well he's doing.
Based on the news coverage, yeah.
Yeah. They tell him this is how well you do. He has to have that every day.
Now, how can you work your way up to get to that point and be like, wow, I'm finally in the White House. This is amazing. And you got to make like a, you're doing great.
Because he can't take criticism. He's a child. He has a childlike mind.
I would quit. To say, I don't think I
didn't wet the bed today, so give me a lollipop.
You get a sticker. Yeah, exactly.
So that's how he is. But, I'm sorry. You was talking about the rallies in Phoenix.
Yeah. So he was, you know, President Trump was in Phoenix. And he just the opening line, I forget what he was saying. I have a home in Charlottesville. Not a lot of people know that. And I was just like, bruh, you said it like twice at the last press conference. Like, we all know. And it's just...
It's a resort, by the way.
It's the fact that he would say that. It's just, you know, you're clearly not able to, for me, again, it's such a disconnect from what people are thinking and feeling versus, like, why do you feel it's important to basically be like a rapper? I got Benzes, I got Beams, I got Beams.
So his next album comes out and he's like, singing the same thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So you know what happened at the end of the rally, though? The first one.
Arizona?
No.
The one that he was in Phoenix. People start walking out.
What happened?
Because all he was talking about, start walking out. Because he was talking about himself. They started walking out. They said the crowd started thinning out before the end of his speech. Because he always goes somewhere and kind of say, let me talk about myself so you can cheer me on. And especially now that everything that's happening is his fault.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a little worried because it does seem like the Republicans are starting to slowly, you know, figure out an exit strategy. The momentum is shifting against him. But Hillary is coming out with a book. And did you see the headlines that he felt goosebumps or something? He was like staring her down. And this is becoming fodder for the people on the right. So that may energize some of his base. Instead of her just going away, she's basically doing like the O.J. Simpson reverse of the politics. Damn. What if I won?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What if I did
it's
it like, type shit?
It's some pro... I don't know. It's bad timing for her PR people. You really should have just held on
to it.
She shouldn't entertain that shit right now. That's just bad for the Democratic Party, who's really not doing a goddamn thing anyway.
Because
they're just standing around whining and saying, I told you so. See? But they're not doing anything of substance. So that's what really pisses me off with the Democratic Party. They just assume that people will always see them as the better people. But you're not doing any goddamn thing. Now, there may be small pockets of political people who are doing good things. But as a group, they're failing. They're truly failing.
It's trash. Trash.
Yeah.
So I want to ask this one question. So I find this really, really interesting because I had the conversation when I have you had conversations with maybe a white person or a person of color that talked about the Civil War and why was the Civil War fought?
No,
I have
not. I had a couple of conversations. This is what I find interesting. I love to have this conversation because what I always hear is black people say it's about slavery. White people say, no, it's about economics. So when you say, go ahead.
And the economics are based on what?
So the economics, let's be realistic. Because I totally agree with economics. It wasn't about slavery, it was about economics. And I'm going to give you the answer for that. Because this is how I draw them in. That's why you always got to be smart with this. So economics is they were getting free labor for their goods and you know, textiles and all cotton and all of that. They were getting free labor. Where the North was like, that's bullshit. We got to pay these niggas and y'all got free ones down there? Nah. We can't have that. So it's about economics. So the North and the wanted to be able to say, let's make this an even plane. Economically, let's have this as an even plane. That's the argument, right? Mm-hmm. They say black people said, no, it's slavery because it was, and we had to stop the slavery. No, it wasn't about stopping the slavery. It was about the only way they would do it because economics. And they said, like, see, so slavery got nothing to do with it. So then I say, we agree with that. He said, absolutely. And I've had this conversation with a couple of white people, a couple of them, and argued with a couple of black people. I said, so we talk about goods. We talk about cotton. We talk about sugar. We talk about rice. He said, absolutely. I said, well, what was black people back then? Slaves? No. They were a commodity to be sold and traded. So when you said goods, black people were goods. So yes, it was about economics, but the economics of slavery. So when I say slavery, you say no. But when I say economics, black people were sold. That is a product. So yes, it was. Do you understand now why we had to fight? Because people, these were people that you were selling.
But Mike, it's not that I don't appreciate the context, because that's very, I mean, right. I love history, because it's almost like I watched a Vice documentary about a house divided on YouTube, and it basically kind of goes through Obama's first term to where we are now, following how we got to, you know, everybody was heal the world. We are the world. Obama's first couple of days in office. You know, we did in America. We're post-racial unity versus y'all doing what? Obamacare? This is crazy. Tea Party, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know if I'm in the mood to, like, I got to teach people history lessons.
But this was prior to the Trump regime. So I'm just saying, this was prior to that. Because. No, so now, I don't think I got time for that. Because to them, it doesn't matter if you teach them history, because you got a person in charge that validates their feelings. I can't go back and say, you know what, our country was built on there, our president said, I can't even say that no more. So all I have to say is, y'all fucked up, and you're going to pay for everything that's going on because you don't realize what you're asking for. It will never be the same. There's not enough of you, and you need these people of color. You need women. You need foreigners to be able to advance our society. But yet, you think that you're going to get, you and Billy Bob are going to get these tech jobs that you don't even have the mental capacity to get. It's never going to happen. And the manufacturing jobs will never come back the way they were. There may be some coming here, but it'll never be the same way. So that argument, you're right. I can't say that now because it's irrelevant. If you go at your job, if you know, the guy, the manager, the CEO in the company says he don't want women at his in his building, it doesn't matter if you quote the law. This dude says, I don't want women. You can't do it. There's no argument about that. You can't argue because the guy that's in charge will filter down his what he feels and what he feels is the right thing to do.
So I'm trying to understand. So are you, so if, if you have a boss that's saying something like that, I don't want any women, then the law does go against that. But you're saying if he's practicing that and he's saying that to his employees, or he's hiring only men, then you're saying that, How does that change? How do you change that mindset, or how do you change that in the workforce? Of what, so what would your counter be to that? How would you fix that?
So again, there's always going to be a sacrifice. So if you're willing to sacrifice, you'll take it a level outside, and they're going to say, well, this is a private company. No, I got that. But your company is based on federal rules. And, you know, I can call EEOC and they can look at the records and show that, look, you don't have enough women in these positions that we said you should be looking at. And when they start investigating it, your name won't get out there. but the only person who's complaining, and the best thing, the best complainer is a man anyway, because they'll never know it's coming from them. So that's the first advantage that a male would have, is be the one who complained, not the woman, because they'll never see it coming. But on the other hand, again, they always go with, there's the women aren't qualified. You know, I'm just, the only reason why I'm not hiring these women is because look at the resumes, that they're not qualified. So if you hold on to resumes that are bad, but throw away the good resumes that are qualified, when they show proof and say they didn't hire anyone, then they're going to show that, yeah, you did hire a person with more qualifications and you didn't have enough applicants that were actually qualified. But overall, that's still bullshit. It's still, if you don't challenge authority, then authority doesn't see what it should be doing for the people.
Well, you can also make the argument that the issues that we're talking about are, just to be frank, white men at a very high position. So you have to sue, and then you have to lawyer up, and then you have to have a team. You know, you can't just be some, you know,
lone wolf,
John Doe. Yeah, lone wolf that's just writing a blog talking about how Walmart isn't paying their black employees in Georgia the way they should. You know, then, you know, I would assume something like that, you can try all you can, but I mean, what are your chances of that actually hurting? And do you need the money for your lawyer?
Right.
I mean, you're fighting against Walmart. I mean, you're fighting against Uber. I mean, you have the story with the woman with this, what was it, the
Medium blog, but she quit.
Yeah, well, yeah, she did quit. Well, see, that's the problem. It's a sacrifice that
yep,
you were also
exactly
saying.
Exactly.
And then that became a whole investigation. I think they even brought in Eric Holder, but that's a little different because they start investigating themselves, which is the way it should be done.
But it's because of their the way they looked. They, people don't like to, big companies says, I can't destroy my brand, so I'm going to have to do something before it gets out of hand. I don't want the bad pub to make my brand look bad. But Uber, that woman wrote that months ago before it got out. So it's been out there. It just got to the right person. You know what I mean? And social media, I think we was talking about this before. I'm not sure which podcast we're talking about. But social media is such a weapon now that these old heads that's in charge has no idea the impact that it can do to them. They have no idea. From a blog to Twitter to Facebook to all of these areas, they can get to them. Why do you think people got fired in Charlottesville? They took the pictures and put on the internet, he's a racist. Fired his ass.
Yeah.
People were fired because they posted on the internet, here's the racist that was at Charlottesville.
Yeah.
People, but the fact that people still went out not even thinking about that. I mean, just the original question of, you know, so after seeing this, you know, what do we think or what's the response? I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss personally. Like every event is, do I just have to constantly counter protest and, you know, perpetually forever? Is that going to do anything? Donating to the anti-hate groups, you know, my circles, I don't know people who are impacted by it or kind of know people in the back roads, as we say.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, something that's happening right now that's just barely getting talked about is, see, Trump is going out here and he's exposing himself. He's talking like a white nationalist or white supremacist or KK, whatever you want to call him. He's talking nonsense. He sounds like a racist when he's not going against these rallies in these protests, to the point that it's becoming obvious now. So obvious that you have people stepping down, that you have these companies that are no longer wanting to go to his resorts or his Mar-a-Lago resort, which is, I think, his biggest one. he's losing money now. He's losing millions of dollars because I forget the number. I just saw it today. It was at least 8 different organizations, companies that are no longer doing their charities at his resort. That's right. If you want to hit Trump hard, who is their leader, if you want to look at it like that, or that base's leader, because they listen to him, that's how you have to hit him in his pocket.
Absolutely.
You have to go against his word, because his word is, that's the way he feels. That's what he's saying. It's, you know, that's whenever he opens his mouth, whenever he tweets, this is what he believes. So when he keeps talking and keeps, you know, going out there and exposing himself, and these reporters are asking him questions, and then he answers the way he does.
Yep.
That's what we need. You know, the protesting is going to happen. It's just going to keep happening. You're going to have anti-protesters, and I do think we have to keep continuing to do that, whether it's even a boycott as well. Mm-hmm. But Trump needs to control himself.
But he
needs. Right. Well, I know. That's what I mean. I think he's going to hurt himself if he has to change. His philosophy is not going to work in this era. Like, we're in 2017. You need us all to make this all work. He's right now. He has his Republicans going against him. You know, now, you know, you have the Arizona governor that's going
Mitch
against
McConnell.
Him. Yeah. Mitch McConnell is going against him, too. And
yep.
He's lying right now, acting like, okay, I'm not actually that mad. But it's like, come on, man. We hear what's going on behind the scenes.
Yep.
I think that's how you have to hit him. I mean, it's in a lot of different angles, but you have to hit him where it hurts, you know? So
there's no one smoking gun for this situation that we're in. There is not one. So, no. So if you're thinking it's one, that's where you're wrong. You have to hit people on different angles. So I've like to read historic battles and stuff like that. And one of the things that Napoleon did was he changed warfare to say, I don't have to have people in a straight line hitting it. He made sure that he had people peripherally hit you from one end, have a setup on another end. The only way to defeat your enemy is not straight ahead and deal with them as they come. That's the traditional way. He came up with a kind of guerrilla warfare, and that's how you have to attack this guy. I think the main thing is financial. I totally agree with E. Financially, you got these businesses. You got to hit them financially. You got these people talking this shit. Find out who sponsors them. Hit their sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
It works. That actually works. There's plenty of people got fired, and there's plenty of people who just said, you know what, we can't deal with this no more. You hurting our bottom line.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the thing. But this is where I'm the most nervous about. If he gets that afraid and insecure, he's going to do something so dangerous that it's going to put us in a bad position, whether it's Iran, he was threatening fucking Pakistan, or he's waiting on fucking North Korea to just to piss him off one.
Yeah.
Not even that. The Chinese
sanctions, exactly.
These new sanctions. And China is talking shit, talking about you need to immediately do XYZ. It was like,
so if you saw that too, there was a little picture that they had. Everybody that was in a White House when all his advisors, when he first got in, and it was like 6 people in there. The only person left is his vice president. And they showed the picture of every single one of them in the Oval Office with him. And the only person was left was Pence sitting in the chair right across him. The Bannons, the chief of staff, the
Kellyanne.
Yep.
Maybe.
Well, they didn't show her in there. They just showed all of the official people that was up inside of there. And they were all gone. And so he's alone. So now he has to take people who he has no idea that he can trust. And he is so insecure that even the people he appoint, he don't fucking trust. So that makes him more dangerous to me, because he's just doing shit. He's trying to ramp up fucking Afghanistan. Where did that come from?
Well, not even that. I'm so confused on this whole transgender ban, because apparently the White House is going to send the rules to the Pentagon.
They said that's not protocol
for implementation or something.
They're not listening.
Yeah, they're not even listening.
So I'm just like, that's where I'm saying in terms of a smoking gun from my perspective. I'm just sitting here thinking like, is, you know, I'm still on the front end of this is dude from The Apprentice. This dude from he was he got roast. I watched him get roasted on Comedy Central a couple years ago. You know what I'm saying? Snoop Dogg roasted this dude. It was funny.
So this is interesting too. So Leisha had an interview on her podcast, my wife, and she was saying what I felt. My wife and I was saying, look, as soon as he got in power, we were afraid. We was like, look, crazy shit's going to go on. We got to be prepared. But the woman said, actually, I embrace it. I had to take it differently. And she said she embraced it because of all the years where they say black people have to be qualified. You have to be able to be, do this. You have to know that. The qualifications were so high for us. But now you show that the incompetent can take the highest position in the world. You can't tell me that I can't do the things that I want to do. I may not want to be the president. But I may say I have enough qualifications to be the CEO.
I have enough qualifications to be assistant manager.
Exactly. So those are the things. That's how she took. See, so she took it as a positive to say, you can never tell me that I'm not qualified. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of true. I'm not sure if people will take that as a, yeah, well, I'll take that. But you know in your mind, the way people can be manipulated, that's the society we live in now. That's the world we kind of living in. And it really bothers me because, you know, I've traveled overseas. I love going overseas. But when Bush was in, they were attacking the hell out of us. Me and my wife go out. They were attacking like, that was stupid. You got you got Bush in there. That's so fucking stupid. Now they look at us go, I'm so sorry. They feel bad for us, which is more embarrassing because I can't say I don't know what happened. They say I know it wasn't you. Obviously,
because they
wasn't you.
Cause they loved Obama.
Yeah, and it was like, come on now, this is so 180. Sad. This is the saddest day in the world, and I'm feeling like a fucking fool. You know, it happened in Sydney. It happened in Italy. I'm like, this is just.
Yeah. Yeah,
so embarrassing.
Speaking of that, it's so funny. I was at a sustainability event. And again, last episode, we talked about civic engagement. So I went up to this one. I had like some nonprofit people talking about ways they're trying to help sustainability, things like that. Ran into this European dude. He was, goes to the alma mater. I was like, you're an exchange student? He was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, cool. I was telling him when I was an exchange student in France, you know, French kids were a little shitty. And so were some of the Irish, you know what I'm saying? They just weren't that friendly, you know what I'm saying, in terms of just trying to reach out, make sure you have a good time. So, you know, I was like, man, you got to do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. But so we was walking, and I asked him. So I was like, man, you know, what do you guys think, you know, about Trump? And he was basically like, you know, he's crazy unpopular in terms of the image of him is just not, you know, it's not good. I was thinking maybe some people were saying, you know, we'll see, blah, blah, blah. But it was like, no. And, you know, racist, this and that. And the image, I think the good news is the fact that, you know, people still travel here in XYZ. I think people still believe in the United States. Still a destination.
Yeah.
But, you know, the leadership is very questionable. You know, there's no esteem, I should say. You know, there's no esteem of, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so's good or, you know, the policies. You know, it's just like, as a person, you know, I don't think, and again, ironically, If you're a supporter, you don't care what those crazy foreigners think anyway, quote unquote. So it's that response I just thought was so interesting, and especially with everything going on with the nationalism going on, and it was
But he also disrespected a lot of these countries.
That's true.
He personally disrespected them. He refused to shake the German chancellor's hand. Yeah, Merkel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he refused to shake her hand. He talked shit about the French guy until he came over and softened him up and probably admired him, you know, kissed his ass a little bit, which he normally doesn't do. But he knew he had to be friends with somebody. You know, I can never forget the one when he was at the, I think it was the NATO summit, and he pushed that guy out of the way.
Oh,
I was
man.
Like, are you so fucking kidding me? Yes. That's a recording they will always use regardless. Yeah. Regardless. And the guy, he had just a lot of class to say, oh, no, I didn't take that as a slight. It was okay. I know behind closed doors, he said, he fucking touched me again.
You know, I got to,
you know, we're going to have to. I got to
give the Europeans credit. You know what I'm saying? They're generally speaking, you know, classy, subtle, nice people. So in terms of world leaders, you know, I gotta. If it was on the foot, you know, is this she was on the foot? I don't know. Just imagine a Trump elected in London or Germany, and I don't know.
Chaz. I kind of feel like it's temporary. Like they just did 8 years with Obama, who was one of the most classiest, professional, just down to earth. Like he changed the image of America from Bush, who was the traditional white
cowboy.
Let's go to war type of president. He immediately changed that look, and that was Obama's mission, and he put his foot down and he went a different route, and he shook hands and to all these foreigners that. The Trump's base or Republicans didn't like because they felt like, hey, you're trying to be all nice and weak to these other countries. They consider that kind of thing as being weak. And while Trump, on the other hand, he comes in and he's being all like, let me push them to the side and let me tell them how I feel and I'm going to be aggressive. And he's trying to literally do the opposite as what Obama did. So it's, like, even if you want to go all the way back, and people forget this, when he dropped that bomb, you know, in Afghanistan, when he hit
the mother of all bombs,
the MOB, you know, and then the missiles that he hit in Syria at the base.
Yeah.
When he was doing those things, he was doing it on purpose. He was saying, yes, do it. I mean, thank goodness we have a military who, you know, I don't know what's going on right now with the Navy, but that's another discussion.
Right. It's another damn subject.
And you know, the Navy just started fucking up once Obama left.
That's, right, yeah.
I don't know. That's weird timing to me.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer. It's the leadership right now.
I really
don't either. It's Trump. I almost feel like the stuff that's going on in Afghanistan, the ships moving around in the Pacific around North Korea and Japan and the drills with South Korea and then whatever's going on with the Navy right now with these two collisions with these cargo ships, I think they are. Whatever's going on in the China Sea, because you keep hearing about that, with their China's man-made islands, it almost feels like Trump is this. He's trying to tell his generals yes as much as he can, so that military is just. It's almost like they want to do something, but then they're trying to hold themselves back, and you know, it's something's gonna have to give eventually, and I'm worried what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and I'm worried it's the extreme, because his ego is so fucking out of line. That it won't be I quit and walk away. It would be I'm doing something fucking crazy because I'm going to make them respect me. That's what I see this crazy bass is doing if we don't do anything. I mean, and I don't mean we as the citizenry, but the actual our Congress, because they're getting tired of him. But getting is too late. They should have known this. And I think it's so bad. We're barely into a year We're not even in a year, and it feels like he's been there
for a minute.
Too damn long.
Like, oh, it just, it's like a collective holding your breath. Like, you know what it is, the analogy? When it's like you two high or too drunk to drive, so you got to give the keys to, like, your teenage nephew or something. And they're, like, driving, you're like, hopefully we can make it to the destination. Shit. But
you gotta stay awake.
Yep. Even though you're trying to, you want to relax. Pass it out, but you gotta stay awake.
But you're like, oh, you want to go to sleep. You just want to relax, but you can't.
Yeah.
But you're in a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? So that's I just feel it's such a mix because I don't know. Is what I don't know what to do because is based on right. Our system is based on, people have to vote, and I don't think people are energized on, you know, the progressive side. I don't think this presidency is enough to galvanize people who normally would not participate in the process. I think they continue to sit out. Like, I haven't seen. I think one of the effects from Charlottesville hopefully will be some galvanization of, oh, wow, you know, this shit is real. So if those people who are protesting can vote and will vote and people on this side won't, then that's not going to make anything better. So I'm hoping for some energy.
More
that
the same.
Way.
Yeah.
So we do got to speak out. It's not just the voting now. It's the preparation for the vote. If we don't prepare and reach out to our senators, like my, mm-hmm. like myself, I live in a Republican region where I'm at. I don't reach out and say, I am not happy what the fuck is going on, and I'm galvanizing the people in my neighborhood because this shit is getting tiring. So I think the percentage is every one voter is potentially 3,000. So that's why whenever they reach out, when one person reach out, they expect there's 1,000 more that feels that way. So that's why they always try to address the one. Because the more ones that's mm-hmm. calling, they know that's thousands of people who feels the same way. So that's the one important thing that, you know, when I was getting back into politics, because I didn't care in the military, because as long as he kept giving me the raises, and then I was like, raises don't mean shit if I can get killed, so I got to get the hell up out of here. Then I got out and said, look, I need to be part of the political movement of things that's happening for my community and the future of my children and so on and so forth. But if you don't reach out to your actual senators and congressmen, even write them, and now they read the emails now. So if you're reaching out doing these things with topics and say, I'm concerned about mm-hmm. this, I'm concerned about that, there's a list, and then they put them in these piles and say, listen, this is the one that you need to address. We have a pile of stuff about North Korea. We got a pile of shit about your reaction in Charlottesville. And they have to, the senators and congressmen have to kind of address it. So not just the vote, it's the preparation for the vote.
Right. That's what happened with the healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All those.
When they had the town halls and
was,
shit.
It was crazy. It was packed. And
they didn't expect that.
Yeah. And you had Republicans running away, and I mean, they didn't want to answer anybody. They weren't ready for their people to speak up, apparently.
And,
so.
You know, I low-key had a problem with that, though. Mm-hmm. Because, again, watching that Vice documentary just kind of brought some perspective back. And people were flipping out on the other side. It's going to be socialism, death camps. You know, people were going crazy. Now those same people are talking shit. I find it to be frustrating just because now all of a sudden they get a taste of it. They see it's not that bad. And they flipped. The same people who voted in Tea Party people or whatever the case. It's like, oh, you needed a majority to vote for Obamacare because now that you have it, you don't want to let it go. You know what I'm saying? So how is it's almost...
It's education.
I don't think they would have gotten educated.
These people are so...
They wouldn't have gotten educated, I don't think, without it happening and they having a tangible product and saying, oh, this isn't, I'm not dead.
Yeah, but if you're not educated to know that, and guess what? You've been getting this, what is that? You've been getting this health care because you have diabetes because all you're eating is this fast food shit constantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they said, oh, yeah, by the way, the health care that you had, the Affordable Care Act, they're taking that away. No, they're not. They're taking away Obamacare. Mm-hmm. No, Obamacare is the affordable. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And they won't do the research, but then they realize, damn, they're right. We got to defend Obamacare. And then they won't say Obamacare. Then they'll call it by the real name because they don't want to mention Obama as being right.
What? Call it the...
Racism in their mind is like, I can't associate myself to anything.
It's called the Klansman's Clinic or some shit.
Klan Care.
Yeah, Klan Care.
Klan Care.
I bet that shit gets voted right in.
KC. Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's ignorance. It's a bunch of ignorance, and a lot of people are fed so much ignorance that they don't even realize that what they're being fed is so wrong. I mean, Fox News became huge, and that's the only channel. If you go into certain areas in Georgia, Fox is on. So think about that. If that's the only channel that they turn it to, whatever false bullshit is being put out there, that's what people are digesting. Yeah.
You know, when the whole protesting was going on in Charlottesville, I went to Fox News and they're talking about something totally different. I forget what the topics were. Or if they'll go back to it and then it's anti-protesters doing this, showing video of them spitting. Yeah, and it's like you have these, what's the word that they always say? Peaceful protesters. It's the First Amendment right, and they're out there doing what Americans do and freedom of speech and yada yada, and then boom, they switch over to the weather or something like that. That's Fox News, you know, and then that's what they listen. That's all they watch, and then that's what Trump repeats, and then it's just a cycle
that validates it again. He's the president United States, and he's going around once again telling everybody it's the press that's making me bad. It's not what I'm doing wrong, but it's the press, it's the media. And ignorant people go, you're right, he's not doing these things that's wrong, but he's saying it, and you believing that the fact that he's not saying these things, how ignorant is that? No, that's stupidity, because you hear him saying it, but you don't believe what he's saying is right. That's just stupidity. But it's a combination of the two. There's ignorant people who realize, damn, I really didn't know that. If I knew that, I wouldn't have voted for him. Or if I knew that, I wouldn't have supported. Yeah, but they were telling you, but I didn't understand.
Nah, yeah, see, that's a rational way of thinking. So, the way, I know you're not wrong. I'm just saying to think that way means you have to have balance. You have to understand, if I believe this, I have to somehow understand the other side. Well, if I'm over here in the light, I wonder what it's like in the dark, you know, and you'd be surprised how many people can care less about what's in the dark. Because why? Because I'm in the light, and this is, I can see what I can see, you know, and that's Fox News. I mean, the only thing is they're the ones shining the light, and I mean, what darkness are you talking about? That's just, you know, that's just how it works.
The black people,
yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, literally, yeah.
Oh, I was, you know, I was thinking about this joke the whole day when the eclipse was happening. That we was going to see the KKK protest the eclipse because the sun was black. But I didn't want to go there.
So, one of them said that Trump is so pissed off that he would say that, I forgot how the joke went, but he would be pissed that the moon blacked out the sun, some shit like that. I just fucked up that whole joke, didn't I? But I remember it one day. But it was funny when I heard it. But yeah, it's so bad. It's so bad that I'm only looking at the fact that is it self, are people saving their ass in these areas by saying, I'm going to take these statues down because I don't want to have these protesters here? Or are they truly saying, you know what, it's about time we take these shits down because it's always been wrong?
Yep.
So I'm still skeptical with white people basically doing things because it's self-preservation more so than the right thing. You follow where I'm going with that?
All right. Now, go ahead, Chaz.
So the statues, mm-hmm. they starting to say we need to take these statues down. We need to start banning these hate groups in these areas and giving them the right to come here with guns. And are they doing that because it's the right thing? Because they've been allowing this stuff to go on and now they realize it can get out of hand, even though they respected the Second Amendment right and the First Amendment, you know, you can carry a gun and you can say what the fuck you want. It was like, you can't say what the fuck you want and you causing a dangerous mm-hmm. situation if you're walking around with these goddamn mm-hmm. guns at a protest. You know, so are they doing it because they realize that, or they realizing, oh, I don't want to be called out in my city?
All of the above. I mean,
that's true too.
They were saying that the Charlottesville police was actually out armed because you had some of these I don't know what you want to call them, neo-Nazis or whatever, the Confederate people. They looked but here's the thing: they look like the National Guard. They said they had people on that, you know, that whole gun side of the you know, of the those white nationalist people. They
the militias.
Right. I think you're right. It's like a militia. It's a certain kind of hate group. You should look it up. There's actually a black dude that's part of the group, and he's rapping for that group. It's really weird.
Serious?
I'm serious. I'll share that link, but it's. And you see him and you see all of them, and they literally look like the National Guard. I mean, they have the trucks, the camo. Yeah, and they have the body armor, and they have the full gun. Mike, you might understand it better than me, the full assault rifle that goes across your chest or behind the back, whatever. And they're just walking around looking like official, and you had people...
But it's the militia.
Yeah. And then so you had some of the police people over there sitting there like, yo, they more armed than us, you know. And I mean, the police has more numbers, but, you know, it's we dying once we start. Yeah.
Come on.
So, yeah. But I mean, so you have that. You have the right to arm. You got mm-hmm. them spitting out these racial slurs left and right. But then they're saying freedom of speech. You know, and it's like, okay, so how far are we going to take this? Because there's consequences to this. You don't have the police stopping anything. I mean, God forbid if it was black people going out saying, you know, fuck the police, fuck white people. And then what happens then? You have a full-on riot from police and canisters going. And I mean, it was nothing like that at that rally. I mean, you have white people on people. It was so confusing watching it because you don't know whose side is what, but
right. And you can't, how could you trust? And it's sad, you know, and I don't mean to be, you know, generalizing in this way, but how do you know what white person is the one that's really for or against?
It's the Matrix. Remember how the Smith would transform into any dude?
Mm-hmm. It's right.
Basically kind of low-key like,
he's standing on the corner, and then all of a sudden he's jumping all over you. You were like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, but Morpheus is like,
"It's the Agent Steel or whatever his damn name."
If anyone is part of the system, can't trust him.
So it's crazy. But now these cities are saying, "Don't give out the fucking permit because they gotta have a permit."
But that fucks up protesting unless you don't give it out to them. But that's discrimination, and I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah. So. What is it? What can you do?
Not be racist? Not be a Nazi? I don't know.
I like that one.
I like that one, too. We'll put that on the list.
That's step one.
Yeah.
then we'll just we'll make instructions. If you can, yeah, we'll just, there if you go. Have to be racist, go to step two.
I'll just blog that one too. Okay. But yeah, guys. So I'm there's no right answer.
It's,
to
yeah,
this. It's just
it's a very complex thing. It's been in the making for years.
But it's a call to arms. You know, you have to know what's going on.
And
even though I'm so tired of hearing this, I'm tired of it.
It's very redundant.
Yeah, but you have to be aware. Yeah. You have to know that this is going on. Because when it goes sideways and you don't see it, you can get hurt.
Yeah.
You can truly get hurt. And you don't want that to, for your family, friends, or whatever. You have to be aware of what the fuck is going on.
I'll speak on this angle. Again, I think we mentioned before there are law enforcement people who, you know, were making jokes about what happened in Charlottesville to the anti-white supremacy protesters. So who's to say your the next time a person of color is pulled over, it could easily be an undercover white supremacy, at least a sympathizer. I won't say someone who's engaging in it. So, you know, just...
No, I would say it is, because there's a lot of... The police, a lot of them are.
Well...
You know, I'm especially just, in those certain areas.
Just, you know, just have everything in check. Don't, you know, if you have too much to drink, just Uber. Or just get your car booted and pay the $100 versus, you know, you going to jail. Or, you know what I'm saying, something crazy. Or
losing your life. Yeah.
Yes, literally, being you're a hashtag. So keep your phone charged. Get a good phone with a camera. You know, you got to think this way now. You got to have a nice phone with
phone cameras,
automatic camera upload. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let it go straight to your cloud.
Yeah.
You know,
so you
have some space available just in case you got to videotape it.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? You have to think on these levels just because, you know, you don't want to generalize, but you know
it's the time we live
in. If you're not being cautious, then you know you could encounter that person who, you know, they're not gonna do any police brutality, but you know you all of a sudden you got a $200 ticket for a stop sign, or you know, just crazy shit.
Yeah. See, that feels like more of a Georgia kind of thing. We, you know, it Virginia. You know, well, I'm in the upper northern part of Virginia. I mean, it's different, but
It's a little different.
I mean,
yeah, go down to Richmond and the Petersburg area.
Yeah, well, yeah, go a little west. Go to
a little west too. Yeah, a little
go
west
past
too.
Charlottesville, but you know, I mean, we have the same. I mean, it's all over the country. The whole deal. I mean, I was actually reading up on white nationalists, and their whole goal right now is to infiltrate politicians, the police force.
Wow.
They're actually against the whole KKK mindset. It's like old school. Now it's suits and ties.
That's move scary.
Move that message and bring it into leadership. Bring it into the country. It's almost like they don't want to, and I'm just going to be real, it's not the old school way where they just want to, like, kill off black people or brown people. It's more like they just want to take control over their country, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about policy manipulation. So if they can change policy that segregates people, if they could change policy to deny certain people, if they can continue to change these voter blocks to say you'll never be able to get another black congressman in this area because we already changed the lines, all of these policy changes are based off these people getting in these positions that fools you into say I'm taking care of everyone, even that small block of the people of color. I can just give you just enough, but when I'm in, I'm going to vote towards, you know, pushing those people back down. And it's easy when you have multiple people and you write up policy that doesn't seem obvious.
Right, and it's scary because they play the long game. So they'll do, somebody will make a move right now for a move that won't go into effect until 2026. And then they just, it's what the Republicans are doing right now. It's why Mitch McConnell is so successful at what he does. He just, it's the long game. It's, and you know, that's, and I know we keep saying this, but that's the white privilege. They know years and years from now, oh, there's going to be another white man that's going to be able to take on this. And he's going to know that this is a yes. And then they just push it forward.
Because he knows exactly what it's about.
Right. So that's what, that's the holdback. That's why when Trump is making these rules and rolling back everything that Obama has pushed forward, that's moving us back so much. That's just, that's a problem. Because when's the next time we're going to have somebody as forward thinking as Obama? You know, I don't really think it would have been Hillary. She maybe would have stuck with the status quo and not necessarily gone backwards, but that he achieved a lot, and we need to keep a lot of what his policies were intact. And Trump is killing a lot of that right now. So
this is a topic that will never go away. I don't think it'll ever go away. It'll go down and put aside, but it's always there. It's like herpes. know. It's never going away. Just gotta wait on the blister. So thanks, guys. Really good. Really good. I mean, again, we can continue on with this. It's just so many different aspects about it. But this was so current in my mind. I really thought that we had to have a conversation about this. So any last words, E?
No, hopefully there's no rallies between now and our next podcast, because at this rate, you know, it seems to happen on many sides. I don't know. Whatever Trump is.
Oh, you
see what I did there? Yeah.
Yo, many sides. Many sides. What's up, Chaz? You got anything?
Just my update. I'm trying to get engaged and just continue. I have to email. The city of Atlanta has the Office of Resiliency. And I think resiliency is rebranded from, instead of sustainability, is resilient now, which, you know, I had to figure out what the hell that means.
Yeah, what the fuck that mean? Office of Resiliency.
So just learn, figure out what's going on, and just see what are the ways that I can continue to stay engaged. Next Monday, my neighborhood planning unit, NPU, is having a meeting. So I'm going to go to that and see what's going on. So that's my update. Just stay engaged on the local level and just let's see if that goes from bottom up versus top down. So
there you go.
Absolutely. Engage. Politics are local. Always keep that in mind. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Rethink Politics. That's our podcast. And
We want to repo. We want to repo your mind.
We got to repo. Get your mind back. Pay the fee, but bring it back. Bring it back. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace. Bound off your tune.